Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. Sister Dawn, I apologize for not sending my scriptures. And this is probably one of the few that I should have done that, because I do have quite a few verses that we'll be dealing with here tonight. We will read a couple of verses. We're also going to be going to 2 Timothy 2:15. And so 1 Peter 3:15 and 2 Timothy 2:15. And just going to believe the Lord to speak to us for a few minutes here tonight as we begin to launch. We continue with the yearly theme of evangelism. And we have been dealing with the passion, having a passion for souls. And if you and I don't have a passion for souls, we will certainly never operate in the gift or the area of evangelism, whatever area God uses you with that. However, as Brother Sapp already spoke a little bit here, I thought, my Lord, I knew he brought my notes to me, but I didn't know he read them on the way. I know better than that. But the Lord has a river that we flow in. His Spirit gives us knowledge. We can have all the passion we want, but if we don't have knowledge to give, to let flow through that passion, then we're not going to be very effective. And the word of the Lord tells us that we are to be ready to give an answer at any time that we are asked about the hope that is within us. And so we're going to spend a few weeks on this about what is it that we have. What has the Lord given us that we have to give to others, this knowledge? And if you don't feel that you're rooted and grounded, well, that's what we're going to be speaking about here tonight. I told my daughter on the way to church, she asked what I was going to be ministering on because she was going to be in the back. And so I kind of gave her a little tiny piece of it. And I said, you know, this is one area that everybody has this gift. Everybody has the ability to learn God's word. There's not one of us that have an excuse to be ignorant about God's word. Can you say amen to that? All right. And so 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, the word of the Lord says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Everybody say always. Tell your neighbor when you're in a bad mood, when you're in a good mood, when you're sick, when you're tired, when you're full of energy, when you got money, when you're poor. Everybody say always. Hey, when it comes to the gospel and it comes to the kingdom, no matter what's going on in our life, we ought to be willing to put that aside and minister to whomever God has brought to us. Okay. Be ready always to do what? To give an answer to, everybody say, every man. So it doesn't matter whether you think they're capable of hearing it or not. To every man, be ready to give an answer. To the uneducated, to the educated, to the poor, to the wealthy, to the healthy, to the sick. It doesn't matter. Our job is to give this gospel to a lost world. What a powerful verse. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And, of course, we could spend time on that, but the Lord is just saying, get right inside. Make sure you're right. Live right. Do right. Think right. Sanctify God in your hearts. Live the part. Don't just talk it. Live it. All right, I got to finish reading and let y'all sit down. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. You ever had that little nagging kid tug on your Tug on your shirt. Why? Sister Brianna giving a prime example to her mom right there next to her. Why? Always why. An answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Nothing more embarrassing than someone comes up to you and says, why do you baptize in Jesus' name? And you don't have a clue. And our famous answer is, well, come to church and you'll find out. Here's my pastor's number. Call him. He don't have nothing to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Lord wants you and I to always be ready. Instant in season, out of season. Always prepared for give an answer for what? The hope that's in us. The hope of eternal life. This hope of this glorious gospel of being redeemed. Father, we come to you tonight. I ask you to touch my mind and my heart. I pray that you help me teach the word of the Lord. And God, that every mind in this building will be open. Every heart will be open, that we will hear the word of God. Lord, that conviction will come to us, a conviction, God, that will stir us up. Lord, that will awaken us, to cause us to realize how important it is that we need to get into the word of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bury this word deep in our spirits and it'll never leave us. We will get a hunger for your word, God. A hunger and a thirst after the word of God. And that revelation will come and wisdom will come, Father, that we might do what has been asked of us. And that is give a reason of the hope that is within us when we are asked. We pray it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Turn to two, three people and tell them, be ready always. Don't sit down yet. I saw you, Mata. I want you to go to somebody, and I want you to ask them, give me a verse of why we are to be baptized in Jesus' name other than Acts 2:38. Go. Get. All right. Were they able to do it? All right. You be seated. Hey, maybe it surprised a couple of you. You didn't even know that verse was in there. Scared it right out of you. What I'm teaching on tonight is crucially important. We cannot be an ignorant church. I want you to hear that. We cannot be an ignorant church. The Bible says that there was a time that God winked at ignorance. Now he commands everybody to repent. But they can't repent if they don't have a knowledge of what they're supposed to repent of. And if men are destroyed for lack of knowledge, Is that what the Bible says? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What chance does West Palm Beach have if the apostolic, Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name called and baptized church, the church that believes in one God and knows his name, what chance does our city have if even we are not able to give a reason for the hope? And so the word of God adjures us, speaks to us. It behooves you and I to devour scripture, not just in general, but in particular about subjects. I want to learn about faith. I want to learn about baptism. I want to learn about one God. I don't want to believe something because the preacher gets up and preaches it. I want to believe it because I saw it for myself in the Word of God. I want to believe it because the revelation is in my heart, not just my ears and my mind. I want to walk in it because I got in the book and I saw it. I devoured it. I learned it. I understand it. Now when I open up my mouth, I do it with a passion. I do it in faith and in confidence because I know that what I have comes out of the word of the living God. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Of course, it goes without saying. It is obviously understood that my testimony, no matter how much knowledge I have, no matter the ability to articulate the oneness of God, the ability to express and show why baptism in the name of Jesus is the only biblical method ever used in God's word, it is of little value if my life does not line up with what I am expressing with my mouth and my heart. And so God starts out, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and then be ready. And so God is saying here through Peter, not only get yourself right, but you need to put yourself in a position that no matter who comes up to you, no matter what the question is, you are able to express what you have sanctified in your heart. Oh, I wish we would get this tonight. Let's clap really loud to the Lord like we believe it. I'm afraid that you and I spend a lot of time with the first few words of this verse, sanctifying the Lord in our heart. We spend a lot of time in the altar praying through over the same sins every week. We spend a lot of time seeking the face of God and asking him for his mercy and for his goodness to be upon us. We sanctify the Lord God in our heart. We spend hours and days and weeks and even years trying to perfect our own walk with God, to live for him, abide in him, and remain faithful. And oh, that is so important. But you are here tonight because somebody else did not only sanctify the Lord in their heart, but they they made themselves ready. That when the question was asked, they were ready to give an answer for the hope that was in their heart. I don't want God just overflowing in me. I don't want God just bubbling out of me. I want to be able to express this joy, this transformation, this power, this salvation, this redemption. I want to be able to express it to somebody else that is seeking, somebody else that is hungry, somebody else that hit the bottom, ran out of time, run out of answers. I want to be able to express to them a reason for this hope that I have. Listen, if you're not able to do part two of this verse, then all you have is religion. This isn't about religion. This is about the eternal kingdom of God. Listen to me close. Anyone who keeps their experience in God to themselves has nothing more than religion. The world does that. But God is calling upon us. I feel it deep in my heart. As the Lord spoke to me in these verses, as we studied this word together, and God tried to assimilate this in my heart and in my mind that I might be able to deliver tonight, that it is urgent that His church steps up and stops drinking milk. God, listen. God is done with the milk and cookies of the Pentecostals, of the Palm Beaches. God expects us to chew the meat of the Word of God. And when that meat gets inside of us and we sink, defy the Lord in our hearts. He expects us to be able to assimilate and then to put out so that others might have a chance. Like you and I have had a chance. The Lord is calling me and you today. He's calling us. He's asking us to step up. He is asking the Wednesday night crowd to stop being just a churchgoer. He wants us to go beyond that. And we can't do that if we don't get the Word of God in our lives, operating in our lives. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. You know, in this verse, he's not even sending you out. He's sending them to you. It's almost like he said, I give up on trying to get you to go get them. Said, I tell you what, you just sit down. I'll bring them to you. But the least you could do is have enough knowledge of my word that when they ask, you're able to give a sensible answer. We're not asking for deep theological explanations of why God chose fire at night. You know what my answer would be to that? It gives light. And why God chose a cloud in the day. You know what my answer would be to that? It gives shade. I think God made some good choices. We're not talking about trying to get deep and tear things apart and figure out. You know what Paul says about that? Paul says, leave that stuff alone. He said, leave it alone. Quit trying to answer unanswerable questions. If God wanted you to have the answer to unanswerable questions, he'd have put the answer in the book. It's not there for a reason. Why don't we quit wasting our time on junk that's never going to save anybody and spend about 5 minutes on something that'll transform their lives? All right, I'm starting to pastor now. Let me get back to being nice. 2 Timothy 2:15, we read these verses, and I want to launch from them. So, God says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says to Timothy, this young man, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you and I are ever really going to be a part of the evangelistic movement in God's kingdom. And so basically what that really means is, if you and I are ever going to be a part of reaching someone for Jesus, that's what that means, then we are going to have to get his word in our hearts. Tell your neighbor, you need God's word in your heart. Now I'm telling you, God is not pleased with ignorant Christians. There's nothing worse than a broken tool or a good tool that you just can't use. And there is not a single one of us in this building tonight who cannot excel at what I'm teaching. There is no excuse for any of us. We all have been given this wonderful ability from God to read and study and learn. Technology and advancement has even made it easy for us. You can go to your computer and write in the little Google bar, scripture on Jesus' name baptism. Boom, there they are. You don't even have to turn in your Bible and look for them, God bless you. You can have them all line up right there in front of you. And probably in just a couple of days, have them all memorized if we'd just spend the time. It's been made easy for me and you. There really is no excuse. Hebrews 5:12. Paul the Apostle says, for when the time ye are to be teachers. Tell your neighbor, you ought to be a teacher. Ask them how long they've been in church. How long you been in church? You ought to be a professor. Ask them how long you been in church. Tell them, you ought to be a teacher. He said, for the time, ye ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you. That's what I'm going to do next time you call me. Pastor, email me some scriptures on Jesus' name baptism. I'm going to email you back and say, how long have you been in church? Go find your own scriptures. You got the same Bible, hopefully. You lazy brat. It's why you don't know any. You're lazy. Call the man of God. He knows it all. It's why we pay him. This is crazy. For when the time you should be a teacher, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk. Do we really have to go back on the bottle? Some of y'all are so bad you complain about the temperature of the milk. You're not still on milk. You're upset it's too cold. It's too hot. Look at Colossians 3 and 16. For the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Everybody say richly. That word means abundantly. That the word of God would dwell in me, dwell in you. Paul's not writing to pastors and preachers and evangelists. He's writing to the church of Corinth, Colossians. And he's telling the members of the church, the word of God ought to dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom. Doing what? When you get God's word in you, you are to teach, admonish. One another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. We don't have a problem with all of the rest. We can sing the best songs with the best. But we got a tough time fulfilling the very first part. God says, before you get the song down, before you get the singing down, get my word in your heart. Then you can rejoice. Then you can dance. But be ready to give an answer at any time when somebody comes up and asks about the hope that is in you. Titus 2 and 1 tells us, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. I'm trying to learn not to say everything that goes through my mind. So I'm going to pick the nicest thing I just thought. The reason why you're so busy gossiping is because you don't got nothing else in you. Two brothers and sisters get together and they don't have enough word in one another, enough to hold a decent conversation about God. About his truth or the doctrine. I know this, I'm preaching to the cream of the crop. That's why we're turning up the fire. Turn you into better silver, better gold. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and clarity, patience, and the aged women likewise, they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, nor given to much wine or the teachers, but to be teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And in verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptedness, gravity, and sincerity. God said, become teachers. Like Brother Sapp was talking about earlier. Don't wait for the young people to come to you. Go to them. Not to rebuke them. To encourage. Don't you dare walk up to one of them and tell them they're not dressed right when you've never walked up to them to tell them how often you pray for them. Don't send correction to someone you don't travail for. My God, have mercy. If you carry them heavy and on your heart, and God gives you something, and you'll know it's from God, because when you deliver it, it'll be in love, and it'll be merciful and compassionate, and they'll be encouraged by it and strengthened by it. But you better make sure you sanctified the Lord in your own heart. Don't go pointing out beams or motes when you're walking around with a beam. We're not going to get on that. That scripture said, be ready always. I'm going to conclude here in a little while. Listen. Doctrine is not arbitrary. It's not, doctrine is not random. Doctrine is specific. You get in the Word of God and you learn about a particular thing that God wants the church to walk by and live by and understand and learn. He is very specific about it. Specific. Pacific, I think, is that big body of water over by California. Specific. God bless the English language. Put an S on it, and it goes from an ocean to something in particular. Okay. I don't even know if you spell them the same. I don't have a clue. All right. Doctrine is not arbitrary. Listen. Doctrine is not put together by men's feelings or personal opinions. When you have a doctrine, it better be founded on multiple scriptures in the Word of God. And it better flow. It better flow. You find someone trying to build some kind of doctrine and they just grab some scripture out of context and turn it into some weird theology. That's not God. It's not doctrine. God's not wacko. They had that movement up in Brownstown quite a few years ago. All kinds of crazy things happening, you know. Y'all remember that? Brownstown, Florida, wasn't it? Not Lakeland. Brownsville? Whatever. I think you were still in diapers when it happened. Anyway, it was crazy stuff and, you know, people falling out everywhere and all kinds of craziness. And then the man of God would say, okay, now we're going to really get deep into the Spirit, and to do that we have to leave the Word of God, because what God's about to do right now is not in His Word. They would do that almost every night, and crazy wild things would happen. They talked about people levitating, all kinds of just crazy stuff. Well, that ain't God. God's not interested in levitating you. He'll do that after you die. Right now, he'd like for you to keep your feet on the ground and get some sense in your head and get your word in his heart and reach people. Let me tell you, you leave this book, you're lost. You're lost. What boundary do you have when you step out of God's word? Who defines truth when you step out of God's word? Do you? So our doctrine has to be founded in the word of God. Look at Isaiah 28 and 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Tell your neighbor, I want to understand doctrine. Tell him, I want God to help me understand doctrine. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are... Uh-oh. Dude, I got to get off the milk. You mean in order to accomplish this, I have to go deeper into the Word of God? You mean in order to accomplish this, I can't get all of my Word and all of my understanding and all of my Scripture from the preaching? That I actually have to get in this book for myself? That I have to dig things out for myself? Are you kidding me? I thought the Bible said that the Holy Ghost would teach us all things. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Listen, you talk in tongues for 72 hours straight. You are not going to learn one thing till your eyes fall on the Word of God, because that's where your knowledge is going to come from. It's from the Word of God. Now, he'll take that word and give you revelation and understanding. And he'll take that word and link it up to other pieces of the word of God. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. The breast here, listen, the breast here, being the fact that the only place that you receive your teaching right now is from mama. If the church isn't teaching you, you don't learn anything. God is saying, no, you have to go beyond that. First of all, the church is mostly evangelistic. If you learn everything on a Sunday morning, the only thing you're going to know is people are lost and they need to be saved. Because pastor's reaching for the lost on Sunday morning. I get you good people on Wednesday night, and I try to beat this in us so that when we show up on Sunday morning, it can rub off on somebody else. We have to be drawn from the breast. Our teaching, our nourishment, our receiving has to be beyond what we just simply get right here in the house of God. For precept must be upon precept. Now, let me give you a skeleton explanation of what I said before I just read this. That is, you should take messages that you hear from the pulpit, and it should be a skeleton outline to you. And you should be able to take that home and begin to study it and dig deeper into the topic and learn more about what God is saying. That's what that means. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Doctrine is layered. You can't just reach in and grab a scripture and make a doctrine out of it. If a doctrine is real, there's scripture underneath it that gives it foundation, and there's scripture above it that lifts it higher into revelation. It's layered. precept on precept, line upon line. I'm going to tell you, have you ever noticed when you get a little thought from God and you get into the Word of God and you start studying about it and you're like, oh my, the whole Bible is about this subject. Did you ever see that? You say to yourself, I'm going to study hate. Some of you need to. I'm going to study hate. And you start studying hate, you go, the whole Bible's about hate. Why? Because hate is a doctrine. And it flows through the Word of God. The Word of God speaks about it all the way through. You find out about what God hates. Huh? You find out what about hate will do to you. Then you can do the same thing about love. You go, the whole Bible's about love. You study baptism. The whole Bible's about baptism. I thought baptism was just Acts 2:38. And then Paul the Apostle compares baptism to the crossing of the Red Sea. Peter compares it to the ark, the Old Testament being raised up. And you begin the cloud. They walked under the cloud in the wilderness. And you begin to find out that everywhere you go in the Word of God, it's about baptism. Because they are biblical doctrines. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. The pastor gets up here and he begins to teach on something. And he begins to deliver a doctrine from the Word of God. You need to pay attention and watch. Is it line upon line? Is it precept upon precept? Is pastor preaching his opinion? Is he trying to get some new thing going? Huh? Gonna preach on the doctrine of. I can't even come up with something. I'm trying to think of something crazy. So it has to be line upon line and precept upon precept. Now let's flip that coin. No matter how much you don't like it, no matter how much it rubs against you, if pastor brings to you a doctrine from God's Word, and it's line upon line, precept upon precept, and you can pull, listen, when a doctrine is from God, you can pull the string in Revelations, and Genesis 1 and 1 will wrinkle. God's doctrines flow through the entire Word of God. In fact, you will be hard-pressed to find a doctrine in the New Testament that wasn't covered in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis in some precept or some form. Because it flows through the Word of God. Stammering lips in another tongue, will he speak to this people? To whom he said, this is the rest wherein call the weary to rest. Verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go, and here it is, and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Why? Because they would not be obedient to doctrine in the word. God wants me and you to learn his doctrines. He doesn't want you to just simply to come to the house of God and rejoice and be blessed and enjoy the byproduct of all of these doctrines. That's what you're feeling. And all of these teachings of God, and that's what doctrine is, by the way. We live in a religious generation today that Satan's trying to curse doctrine. Do you know that doctrine is almost becoming a Christian cuss word? If you live in the charismatic religious world, doctrine is a cuss word. Don't come to me with your doctrine. That's just what you believe. Well, what do you believe? Well, I don't believe nothing. Well, that's a doctrine, by the way. Atheism is a doctrine. Doctrine is nothing but a belief or a teaching. And the Bible tells us we can't be saved without it. You know that, right? I can prove that to you. You can't be saved without baptism. Therefore, you cannot be saved without the doctrine of baptism. Because it's the doctrine of baptism that teaches you that you need to be baptized. And you might say tonight you didn't even know that baptism was necessary. Here doth 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 21. Here doth baptism also now save. In the same light figure, here doth baptism also now save us. Not to put in the way the filth of the flesh, but the showing of a good conscience towards God. For we are buried with him in baptism, wherein that we might like also, what? Be resurrected, arise, Romans chapter 6. It is the doctrine of baptism that causes you to be baptized. It's the doctrine of you can't be saved without the Holy Ghost. It's the doctrine, the teaching of that enables you to receive that and get faith in your heart and believe it and respond to it and be saved. The Bible says that without his spirit, you're none of his. You can't be saved without his spirit. You don't belong to him without his spirit. It's the word of God. These are doctrines, and I'm going to teach on them, and I'm going to teach on them line upon line and precept upon precept. But you will never receive everything that you need from the 30 minutes or so that it takes me to teach it. Unless you take it home and devour it and study it and line it out and put it in order, Google it, and learn it. So when someone comes up to you and says, man, I heard your pastor say something crazy. You invited me to church and he said something crazy. He said, you have to receive the Holy Ghost to be saved? What's that about? Come back next Sunday and he'll teach part two. No, you ought to be able to say, I would love to come over and teach you a Bible study. Or you ought to say, come right over here and sit down for a second. Let me talk to you about some verses about the Holy Ghost. Did you know the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost leads us into all truth? And without God's Spirit, we can't even be led into truth. How can you be saved if you can't be led into truth? Did you know that the Word of the Lord, and you could just go on and on, verse after verse. And let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm not getting to it tonight because I'm closing right now. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say when you open up your mouth. I'll give you the words. You know what he's really saying there, right? Because people take that as, well, I don't have to study. I don't have to learn a doctrine. If you don't know nothing, when you open up your mouth, the only thing it's going to be filled with is hot air. The same thing your brain is filled with until you get that word in you. No, the Lord is saying, you have me in you, my word abides in you, and you abide in me. When you open your mouth, I'm going to flow out of you like a breath of fresh air. And I'm going to bring this scripture to your mind. And I'm going to put everything together for you. And you're going to connect scriptures. You ever see God do that for you? You're going to connect scriptures that you never even knew went together. And it's just going to be flowing out of you. And you're going to feel the anointing. And they're going to feel the anointing. And they're going to go, I see it. I see it. I want the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Where did that come from? It come from you taking the time to be ready when someone asks of you about the hope that's in you. That's how people are going to be saved. You and I must make ourselves ready and available. Let's stand. I've just started, but we'll continue. If you've only been in this thing, Sister Stephanie, where are you at? Just a few weeks, right? Been coming? Just a few weeks. And I know you're surrounded by wonderful ladies here in the church and friends. But I want you to know something. God is already ready to put his word deep in you and give you revelation and understanding. You can be in church a week or 2 weeks, or you could have been in church for 25, 30 years and still walk out of here tonight and say, Lord, and don't let the devil hang you up with guilt. That's what he'll do. And then someone will call and they'll say, $1 in that seed basket. Do you know what kind of word I just taught you? Thank you. $2. No, that's a $5, $6. That's good enough. Do you know how few places you can go tonight and receive this kind of teaching? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the anointing that abides in this church and the truth that abides. And I'm not saying all of that because of that. Dear Lord in heaven, I'm just got off on, I was having fun with that. But this word that we receive, whether it's me or one of the ministers on the platform, because I'm going to tell you, there's not a single man of God minister in this church that cannot absolutely deliver the word of God to this church. We are blessed with ministry, and we have more coming up. But we receive rich, thick word, revelation word. And we are held responsible for that word. To whom much is given, much is required. Much is required. I was saying something earlier and I forgot. I got distracted by the $1. All right. Oh, guilt. Everybody say guilt. I'll have people call me up and they'll say, Pastor, I really want to start reading the word of the Lord. Where do you think I should start? What? Well, since you're not doing anything, it really doesn't matter. Just start anywhere. Please don't start in Revelations. Pastor, I believe that eagle. God gave me revelation. That eagle is Donald Trump. And then next presidency, you'll be saying, that eagle is Hillary Clinton. There is one who knows who that eagle is. And he's the one that told the guy to write it. So, what do you say? Let's get in the word. Pick a subject. Any subject. Any subject. Baptism. Go to the back of your Bible, look it up, or like I said, you can Google it. Be careful with Google. There's a lot of crazy people out there. They have a lot of crazy stuff. And please stay away from YouTube when it comes to religion, unless you're actually watching a preaching of some kind. There's crazy people out there. You know what? Just stay in the book. Just get in the book. Just get in the book. All right? Just go to the back of the book. Look up the word baptism and say, I'm going to find out if Pastor Kyle's right. I'm going to study baptism. I'm going to find out if Jesus' name baptism is the Bible way. I challenge you. Holy Ghost baptism, holiness, oneness, love, giving. It don't matter. Choose any subject. And if there's, and I'm done. If there's 50 scriptures, Don't try to remember 50. Just pick 3. And if you're really smart, 5. Not too many people going to go beyond that. And just, unless you're one of these little quizzer kids, right? 300 verses in their brain. Quizzing's amazing. Sean, we need to have another quizzing tournament up here. I know the preachers embarrassed those kids this last time, but they were embarrassed because the preacher didn't get a point. That's why they were embarrassed. All right, let's pray. We're going to pray and ask God to give us a hunger for the Word of God. Will you do that? Let's do that together. Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you. I thank you for this Word tonight. God, it's rich. It's powerful. It's line upon line and precept upon precept. And God, you, Lord, you do not want your church to be ignorant. You want us to learn your Word, to learn doctrine. Lord, that we can be effective in the kingdom of God, that we can be effective in this world and reaching the lost by having your Word buried in our heart, in our minds, in our spirits. Lord, that as we begin to speak, you'll flow out of us and you'll use us, God. Help us not to be intimidated, Lord, or ashamed or embarrassed, but get that Word in us, Father. I pray it, God. Put a hunger in our hearts and our minds, our spirits, to hunger for your Word, to learn from the Word of God. We pray it, we ask it in the mighty, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. Tell your neighbor it's time to get off the milk. God bless you. I love you. You're the most wonderful, greatest people on the planet. I love you in Jesus' name. Let's go study His Word. Let's learn His Word. Let's get it in our hearts, get it in our spirits, so we can be effective evangelists in the kingdom. Listen, God's going to send somebody to you. You get ready. You prepare yourself. God's going to send someone to you. You'll see. They're going to ask about that hope in you. God bless you.